All right, Romans chapter 12, overcome evil with good. The Lord brought this to pass. I had taken Alexa, my daughter, home, I guess it was Monday morning. And I would just, when I left her area, I noticed a Jewish man that, I guess, osteoporosis, whatever you call it, but he was so slumped over, he was standing in the corner like this, and that's where his head was, and you know, it's just that way. I've seen people like that before. And my heart just broke for the condition that he was in. And I thought to myself, man, if Jesus were here, you know, that's the kind of person he would just touch and they would be upright, you know. And then I went to the gym and I worked out for a little bit, and maybe it was Thursday morning, I don't know, but it was this week. And, I was watching the guy that won the MVP of the National Hockey League, or most valuable player, Craig Anderson. So it was Thursday. I think it was, because we talked a little bit about that. And he was trying to give a speech, how thankful, and his wife sitting out in the auditorium with cancer, you know, and though he was thankful for all the support, and I was thinking about the people that were shot this week, and somebody was actually stabbed by my gym and killed a 16-year-old, maybe 18-year-old. I can't remember. They initially thought the kid was 16. I hadn't heard how old he was since then. And you know, for a moment, I was brokenhearted. I was thinking of all, you know, I was thinking about Devon and her health issues, my wife, the health issues, and Yoda's healed and everything. You know, that's all because of sin. That's all because of evil. You know, if it wasn't for sin, there'd be no sickness. You know, we wouldn't know murder. We wouldn't know what it's like to somebody have cancer. All these things took place because of evil. The murders, the killings, the rapings, the fornication, the adultery, all things taking place. And as a city celebrates, you know, sin against God this week. And I thought to myself, you know, basically I was getting overcome. I was thinking, man, I was heartbroken. I was hurting on the inside, and the Spirit of God brought to mind this verse: be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil of good. And so we're going to see some things here, because we do live in an evil situation, an evil world, but God says don't be overcome of that. But overcome by definition means to conquer. It means to get the better of. It means to gain superiority. Because, you know, sometimes evil can get the best of it. It was getting the best of me that day. Here I am saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I got a beautiful wife, been married to, well, this year be 27 years. Six wonderful children. I got health. I got strength. I'm overweight. So that means God's been meeting my needs over and above. So no complaint there. And I got health and strength to play basketball, to play tennis, to just walk in the neighborhood, to do things that I like to do. And I'm getting all the blessing that God has given me, and I'm overcome. And here's Satan getting an advantage over me. And I start that morning with such praise, because I enjoy taking my daughters. We get to spend a few times together. It's not like we talk about anything deep or anything, but just some moments to be together, because I recognize those moments will not last forever. Those moments will be, I'll look up one day and I'll be 80 if I live that long, and she'll be much older than she is now, you know, but everything is temporary. But see, I recognize how all those things, but I was losing my joy as I was being overcome with evil. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, notice what the Word of God says here. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, in verse number 16, God began to give us some instruction to prepare us regarding overcoming evil with good. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, though things that seem high in this earth, that seem to be exalted in this earth. God says, don't pay any attention to that, because that's temporary. Remember the disciples, when they looked at the temple and were talking with Jesus, said, Master, see what manner of stones and buildings are here. As they glory in the architecture of the temple, he said, there should not be one stone left. You know, how it's all going to be thrown down. But condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits. Now, conceit is that which is conceived or imagined or formed in the mind. The Bible says, because what he's about to tell you and I from this passage, it's very easy to use your own wisdom and instruction, that which you conceive in your mind. The reason the world is in such disunity and such destruction is because the world is wise in their own conceits. The world is using their own reasoning to determine what's right and determine what's wrong. Instead of saying, well, Lord, what do you think? And I think about this today, really, almost all the world are legalists. You know that? Because basically, if you tell them something, say, well, why? Prove it to me. Show me where. You know, believers don't do that. Well, why? Show it to me. Whereas God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. There's things that because of being born again, I know by the Spirit of God, I just shouldn't do that. You know, and God doesn't have to prove to me everything. He can give me an instruction, and he don't have to tell me why he said not to do that. I just trust him. Well, why is that bad for me? Why will that harm me? And well, what's wrong with it? Well, what's right with it? You know, but it's our own conceits that cause us to have, we have imagination in our mind. Like we say right now, how many people agree that murder is wrong? But the answer is why? I mean, is it because it hurts? Is it because it takes life from an individual? Is it wrong because someone dies without their choice? Or is it simply wrong because God said, thou shalt not kill? Because the only reason is, that's the only reason, because anything else other than it being wrong because thou shalt not kill is being wise in your own conceits. You know, and God, he begins to, then he, as we look at the passage now, a few similarly. Number one, the natural reaction to evil. The natural reaction to evil. Now, verse number 17, the Bible said, recompense of no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. See, the natural reaction to evil is to pay it back, you know. If you've ever been around small children, or if you've raised small children, one of them goes and pops one of the children. And this may not happen in your home, but what happens in my home when one of the children pops one of the children, it's, oh, bless God, thank you for that. You said, no, it doesn't. What happens is, boom! Why'd you hit him? He hit me first. He hit me first. Ever hear those words? You know, why'd you curse him? Well, he cursed me first. Why'd you cut him off? Well, he cut me off. Why'd you not let him in? Well, he didn't let me in. And all the different things we do. We our natural reaction is to repay evil for evil. That's what we naturally do. But the Bible says that we, instead of doing that, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, the word honest is, of course, we know it means truth, but a definition that keeps the context here is that proceeding from pure and just principles. So we need to provide things before our men from pure and just principles. Well, what's the pure and just principle? Well, the pure and right principle is recompense or repay no man evil for evil. Well, why? That's not fair. Well, that's because that's a conceit in your mind. That's conceit in my mind. That it's unfair for me not to be able to repay evil for evil. And because God says on the contrary, he says recompense or to no man evil for evil. That goes contrary to our natural reaction. And now I wrote on here, turn to Luke chapter, hold your place in Romans, and go to Luke chapter 6 just for a moment. In Luke chapter 6, we see some instruction that kind of stays in agreement with what we're looking at, because we're going to naturally react to evil unless we are not wise in our own conceit, and unless we yield our judgment up and let God be the judge. Now, in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, the Word of God says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And when you and I make judgments, that means we have taken into our own hand our conceit, and we provided the application. You and I, when we judge, we have determined what's right, the right or the wrong way to handle this situation. This is one of the reasons we must walk in the Spirit. Because when we don't, when I don't walk in the Spirit, I do what I think is right. Whereas God is the one that establishes what is right. Because the real question about life is not doing what is right or wrong, but is doing what thus saith the Lord, doing what God wants. Obey the Lord. And because the instruction is to be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. God gave mercy to those who did not deserve it. Then it says here, judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Now, I wrote a statement like this. When we make judgments within ourselves, we're leaving pure and just principles. Because remember, that's what honesty is. And the Bible said, provide things honest in sight of all men. We're leaving pure or just principles, which causes us to be judged by principles that are not pure or just. See, when you and I begin, what happens, and this is what's going on in our world right now. And when you and I judge our own conceits, you know what happens? The world judges us by their own conceits. Whatever is formed in their mind, they use that as a basis of judging you. And because we're being repaid for that. And it says we're also using our own conceits, which are ideas formed within our mind, and this causes us to be judged by others' ideas formed within their own mind. The Bible cures it very simply. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And you remember Jesus, he's like, my doctrine is not mine. That means his teaching, his instruction, his way of living wasn't his. Yeah, the principle is that we take great pride in what we call our personal beliefs. You know, nobody can go against what we believe. And one of the things I know from being from the United States of America, we worship our power of choice. We worship our will, you know, because, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I can, you know, it's funny, you know, it's kind of almost sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? No man taking my life from me, but I lay it down. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus only one had the power to say that. But that's the way our nature is. And that's why evil is overcoming, because when we don't overcome evil with good, we actually just walk in the same line as evil does. Now, back in our text here, number two, the focus in a world of evil. And in Romans 12, it says, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. So how do we do that? How do we live peaceably with all men? As much as life within us. Well, how far do we go with that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So turn to Hebrews chapter 12. God being the standard for everything. He said, that person, I just can't get along with them. How far should I really go with them? How much do I really labor to live peaceably with all men? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, again, as always, Jesus being the perfect example, because it's about following Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, the Word of God says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, you're going to get weary of people making it difficult for you to live with them unless you consider him. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, Jesus set the example. You know how much Jesus tried to live peaceably? All the way to the cross. As much as it lied within him, he went all the way to the cross. That was as much as lied within him. All the mocking, the scourging, the spitting, the disrespecting, all the way to the cross. We say, how long do I have to put up with this? All the way to the cross. Because consider him. If you don't consider him, then you're going to get weary and faint in your mind. You know what happens when you get weary and faint in your mind? You live by your own conceit. And I live by my own conceit. So I have to consider him. Because if I don't consider him, then what I do is what I saw in Romans, I begin to repay evil for evil. You know, because there was a part of me when I was talking about the things, about the sickness, the illness, there's a part of me, I just got mad. And I was thinking, man, I was getting mad at the devil, and there was a part of me that, man, Lord, what can I do about this? You know, but and the answer is nothing in my flesh. There's nothing in my flesh that I can do about the consequences of evil. I can't do anything about it. You pick every atrocity, every situation. I can't undo any rapes that have taken place. I can't undo any abuses taking place. People have been violated, taken care of. I can't undo any of that. All I can do is overcome it with good. Because see, and the only good we have is when we listen to God and follow Him. That's how we overcome it, because we can't undo it, but we can't overcome it. And see, what happens is we live in a world where it's very easy to be overcome with the evil around us, and we lose sight of everything that God left us here for. Now, back in our text here, number three, the compassion. I call it the compassionate instruction for those attacked by evil. The compassionate instruction for those attacked by evil. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, and sometimes the evil just seems like it's overcoming. Sometimes we don't really care if it's, unless it gets to us, but when it gets to us, it gets to us. And the Bible tells us here in verse 19, you notice, because you know God is such a merciful God. He understands when He's about to tell us something that's kind of difficult to do. And so verse 19, He starts off, He says, "Dearly beloved," He said, I'm going to talk to you now. He already told us, don't repay evil for evil. And, and you know what? God is so wise, He already knows we're struggling. He said, recompense to no man evil for evil. You know, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And you know, if you're like me, and you're like most people, these scenarios begin to come in your mind. Well, this situation, in this situation too, in this situation. And God stops and He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. He said, don't avenge yourself. To avenge means to inflict harm or in result for an injury or wrong done to oneself or another. So we can avenge for someone doing something to us, or we can avenge for somebody doing something to someone else, you know. Like I said, there's a part of me that wanted to avenge because of what Satan has done, the people he's deceived, the people he's hurt, the people that have to go through things because of his sin, but that's not for me to take care of. That's for God to take care of. I have a responsibility and opportunity to walk with God and to do what He wants me to do. So He said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, I'm going to be honest. Now, see, my carnal side really likes this verse. And I'll tell you why. Because how many of you believe that God is mightier than you are? How many believe that God is more powerful than you are? So my carnal side thinks, okay, if God's going to repay, man, if He gets them, God will really get them. God will really repay, you know. But repay, you know, kind of means to restore. So I want you to think about this context. You know why most of us, when evil is done to us, why we want to repay evil? Because we feel like something has been taken from us. Either respect, maybe being disrespected, devalued, could be a possession taken from us, which even then, that's the disrespect for us because somebody took something from us. But whatever the evil rendered unto us, there's that side that says, I want to take care of them. They're not going to get away with that with me. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, God said He will repay. And I was thinking about this. Okay, now, Jesus is God, right? Jesus is God, right? Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. I know it's getting late. It's nap time or something. But He was holy. He was just. He was love itself walking in the flesh because He was robed in flesh. So Jesus loved every person perfectly. Jesus handled absolutely every situation in the way that He should have handled it. But you know what amazing? You know what happened to Him as a result of Him being perfect in every way? They desecrated and violated and disrespected His name. Am I right about it? And I thought about this. So Jesus, his name has been blasphemed. Jesus' name has been disrespected. It's been cursed. It's been mocked. It's been cast aside as offscouring in every you can imagine. And God says, vengeance is mine. He said he will repay. But you know what God did? He took that name that has been blasphemed. He took that name that has been disrespected. He took that name that has been used as a curse word. He took that name that's been used as casual and ordinary. And he took that name and he made that name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything. So God has repaid. You think about everything that Jesus went through. God has repaid it over and above, you know. So God is trying to encourage us, dearly beloved, don't avenge yourselves. You don't have to fight for your own name. Just God, let God do it. Let God take care of it. And whatever you do here is in the temporal realm. But when God, his repaying, he takes care of it in the eternal realm. You know, God gave me a message. I don't know where I'm going to preach it yet, but one of the common mistakes that religious people do is they compare the eternal against the spiritual. There's no comparison because the spiritual is eternal. You know, and there's really no comparison between that which something is so temporary and vague compared to that which lasts forever. But God, he tells you, don't avenge yourselves. He said, I will repay, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And then he tells us, now, this is how you're going to flesh this out. If your enemy hunger, feed him. What? Dearly beloved. Now catch your mind. Didn't just say somebody that you don't like, but it says feed him. And if he thirsts, give him a drink. What? I ain't giving him none of my hard earned money. I ain't spending no money on him. I ain't giving him my food that got for my family. Dearly beloved, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now I've been told what this means. This is a picture of repentance. Because in you reading the Old Testament, you know, they put talking about being ashes. And what really will cause a person to come to a place of repentance is us basically being like Christ. You know, because I kind of think, I'm not sure, but the Bible says that before salvation, we're the enemies of God. Anybody here get saved in the womb? Is John the Baptist in the service today? Okay, because John the Baptist is the only person I know that is filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So before salvation, the Bible calls us the enemies of God. So if I understand correctly, if you weren't saved in the womb, and even if you were, let's just stay with that. God fed you while you were his enemy. And some of you actually got old enough to have a consciousness to where you knew you were deliberately living against God. You lived long enough to know that the life you were living was against that which was right, that which was holy, and that which was just. And guess, you know what God did? He fed you. And he gave you to drink. And if you're born again today, you know what happened? Somehow you saw the goodness of God and the grace of God and you repented. Because know you not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So in that mercy of God to feed you and to clothe you, can you imagine if when you came to what's called the age of accountability, where you really recognized for the first time in your life that you could, okay, you're a sinner separated from God and that you have a choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive salvation, forgiveness of sins, or you can stay where you are and receive eternal damnation, then in that instant you got one choice, and if you don't do it, God says, boom, it's over. No, he fed you, and he fed me, and he gave me drink. And not just gave me drink, but he gave me clothes, and he gave me food, his strength. Like we read the song we sang, all who borrowed life from thee. And I'm amazed that God allowed me to live up to age 24 using my life for me. The only reason I'm I'm not as amazed now as I used to be. I'm less amazed now because I understand the grace of God more. And I understand the mercy of God more. I realize now that's just in keeping with the character of God. He just said, be merciful unto whom I am merciful. And because God's merciful and he's just and he's holy and he's love itself. He's all these things. And he instructs us, if thy enemy be hungry, feed him. And I was thinking about this, and this leads us to the last point, verse 21, how our Lord overcame the evil. He gives us the instruction here, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, how did God overcome the evil? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I was waiting for somebody to ask. John chapter 3. And you know the verse, but I encourage you to look at it. Number one, it helps your eyes stay open better. It helps you just hide God's word in your heart. But in John chapter 3, how many of you believe that God knows everything? How many of you believe that God knows the future? You know that God knew there would be murderers today? God knew there would be people that blaspheme his name today and take his name in vain. God knew there would be people that would have an organized event to parade and profess their rejection against God's plan for their life. You know, God knew that. But you know, God wasn't overcome with that. God said, you know what, I've got an answer for that. I'm going to overcome that. I'm going to overcome that evil, and I'm going to do it with good. You know how he did it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all the evil that takes place, everything, the people that were killed last night, the other night that I mentioned somebody was stabbed right near my gym, there were four people stabbed to death that night. And that was in Toronto. Who knows about the other parts of the city, other parts of Canada, all over the world. And God wasn't overcome by that. Because see, God said, I'm not recompensing evil for evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. It's always been in the plan of God that his reaction to evil would be love. And he so loved that he gave his only begotten son. See, this is why, you know, the Bible says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Jesus understands the feeling of our infirmities. You know, can you imagine? You know how many people really don't want to follow Christ? They don't want to feel the shame of being set apart for being like Jesus. Jesus knows that agony. Jesus knows that pain. I mean, nobody in this room is perfect, but he knows what it's like to do everything absolutely right and to be misunderstood, to be not appreciated. And better than that, just to be totally respected, but even to go so far as because he did that which was right, because he was perfect in every way, the world wanted absolutely no part to do with him. And that's what Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. But know what he said? Know what he says? The world, yes, the world hated me before it hated you, but he still says, recompense, dearly beloved, if that enemy be hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him water, give him drink. For in so doing, I hope to see in the life of your enemy what I've done in the life of you, which is repentance unto God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's great to be saved. Every passage points to Jesus Christ. See, do you understand this whole teaching here points to the gospel? And you know what? God knew there'd be evil, and he just needs some witnesses to not be overcome of evil. Because if you and I won't be overcome of evil, you know what will happen? When there are hopeless people around us, we'll be able to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lies within. Man, I can't believe you let him treat you like that. How are you going to let people do that to you? You gonna let them disrespect you like that? Well, I don't really like it personally, but I tell you, you know what? My Savior came to a world that totally disrespected him, had no appreciation for him, in fact, did not even really want him. And you know what he did? He didn't repay evil for evil. In fact, he loved them all the way to the cross. And even one of his disciples that walked with him, talked with him, that Jesus put his own power within him to do miracles. You understand? Judas could do miracles. He betrayed him. And Jesus looked upon him and he said, friend, as he had that fake affection for him, he kissed him and he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? He said, why are you coming to me like that? You could be coming to me and with me as your Savior. And Jesus wasn't overcome. There are people today that have faith to live for Christ because of how Jesus overcame evil with good. To look someone in the eye that he knew, every step he took toward him, he knew he was coming to betray him. You know, there's some people in life, you know, that the moment they step around, you know they're just there to use you. But you just overcome it with good. And so, and sometimes, Hardy, you know the people you care about, somebody's in their life to betray them and to use them, and you just overcome it with good. You know, because part of that avenging is inflicting wrongs that people do to either yourself or even somebody else. But you just treat it, you just overcome it with good. All you do is love them. You just share Christ, and you just show Christ in every situation. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Because you know what? God really does love the world. I mean, he doesn't accept what the world does, but he loves the world. How did he so love? He so loved it that he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whosoever of those that offended him, that mocked him, that cursed him, and spurned him, and disrespected him, didn't want him, that took his name in vain, that whosoever of them believeth on him, anyone, any situation, believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God believes in his own creature. He said, I am not going to repay evil for evil. When man sinned, he brought his own death sentence on himself. And God, instead of repaying evil for evil, he said, I'll get you out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to die. I'll get you out. I'll rescue you. I'll save you. And better than that, I just will rescue and save you. I'll make you one of my children. Can you get that? He said, I'll make you one of my children. There's nothing better than the love of God, I'm telling you. But in John 16, close with this verse here, Lord willing. In John 16, speaking to his disciples here. Now he's talking about the cross here, but he understands this is kind of the real way it is if you're a believer in this generation. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now he is, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. See, that's why it's so hard to find a spirit-filled church. I mean, what if I stop and ask, like, everybody stand, don't stand, but what if I stop and ask you, how many people really took the effort to walk in the Spirit with me? And if we didn't, and can I be honest, there are times that I've read my Bible prepared to preach and I haven't done the same, so I don't mean that condemningly. But the reality of the verse is here, every man is scattered to his own. When you and I don't walk in the Spirit, we're just walking on our own. And we're scattered about. Because your conceit governs your life. My conceit governs my life. But when you and I receive God's wonderful command to be filled with the Spirit, you know what happens is, then we unite in purpose in one accord because we are walking in the Spirit of God. And as we walk in the Spirit of God, there's a harmony there. There's a joy there. And you know what? That harmony takes us right into the presence of Christ. And but Jesus said, the hour is coming. Behold, the hour cometh, and now is, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. And I said this, I can't remember if I said it abroad here, but I know I was talking to my family one day. You know, every major denomination has a biblical position they can stand in and still not be spiritual. Because I know the years that I dressed right, didn't go to movies, and didn't do this, and didn't watch television, all those things, and I was mean and hateful. But in my mind, I'm better than other people because I dress right and I don't do the things that they do. Though I was still being unspiritual. And or I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James, devil-hating Baptist, but yet I can't forgive. And I'm judging, condemning. One group, because they speak in tongues, they feel like they have a gift that we don't have, and so they can speak in tongues, and not, and since we don't, then you can have whatever gift they say and then still be unspiritual by the in their actions and their deeds and things that they do. And you go on, down and down, go on and down the list. Because one holds to the principles of John Calvin, they have a wisdom and a knowledge that they think we don't have, and so they can rest in that position rather than to be spiritual. But when what we have is people scattered to his own. Because you know what I find? You know what the sad thing is? You pick every one of those things. What we just taught today is a snare to so many people, which is rendering evil for evil, simply being Christian, loving, forgiving people. And that's one of the reasons they're scattering all abroad and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, but you know what he says here? He said, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. She said, it looks like I'm all by myself, but I'm not by myself, you know. And, through the years, since the ministry is small, people have come and in their own way of saying it, they admire what we do here because of the faithful few we continue on. Because some people have come from big churches and in their mind, they know, how do y'all do it? You know, there's a good spirit here. How you do it? And I said, well, the reason is I'm not alone. Because my Father is with me. And the reason you keep coming, though we wish there was the seat beside you to left and right were filled or in front of you in some cases. But we wish there are more people because I wish they knew this love of God. I wish they knew this character of Jesus Christ. I wish they could have the joy and the love of God. They're willing to want to give it out to people. But they're not alone. But Jesus, there again, he knows how we think. And so he says, now, when you look like you're all by yourself, remember you're not alone. And the one that you're called to live by, live like, or follow is Jesus Christ. He wasn't alone either. Notice verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you're going to see my exit. You're going to see how they despise me. You're going to see how they mock me. You're going to see me crucified, but be of good cheer. It didn't look like it, but I have overcome the world. So when you want to give up, when you feel like quitting, and when you just finally had enough of that enemy, and you say, he says, no, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't do it. Don't avenge yourself. Don't speak for yourself. Let God speak for you. Fight. Let God fight for you. Just continue on overcoming evil with good. And I found myself praying, you know, after I thought of last year, when God put that verse in my heart, I said, Father, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you please allow the goodness that you've placed within me be used as much as it possibly can to overcome the evil that surrounds me? You know what? I've had a good week since then. A good time since then. And guess what? There'll be evil to come tomorrow. There's evil that came this morning. You know, and just trials and things come our way, but that's okay. Because good overcomes evil. And we all have the tendency to be overcome of evil. Whether it be, it may not be the same circumstances, because the evil in this life that weighs you down is much different than the evil, or I could say potentially much different than the evil that weighs me down. But by the grace of God, God told us, he said, you can don't be overcome of evil. You've got the power in this situation. You've got the upper hand. Overcome evil with good. What good? Well, the good that he put in you, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have admonitions that we have faith in God and not in ourselves. We have faith in what God has done, not what we do. It's all about, that's why we're saved by grace. And not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Because if we were saved by our own works, we would boast about it, and we find our strength within ourselves. But God understands, if you're a believer in Christ today that has a desire to do that which is right and pleasing in the sight of the Lord, and you're struggling today, God said, don't be overcome. you really don't have to cave in like you think you have to cave in. You really can't actually live like Christ, you know. I was thinking about this today. I was talking to a lady one time, and I think I was at the gym. I was at the YMCA, and I came around. She said, "Oh, I'm never having children." And I said, "Why, you don't like yourself?" She said, "What?" I said, "You don't like yourself. You don't like yourself." She said, "What do you mean? You say you wouldn't have children. So you would not want to have somebody else in the world like you?" I said, "I think you're a nice person. Why would you not want somebody else in the world like you?" You know, and the reason why even believers in Christ find no vision for reproduction is because they're overcome of evil. Because, you know, it's just not worth it. You know, I mean, I'm not living a victory, so why would I want to bring somebody else in this world that's not victorious? Because we've allowed ourselves to think that the victory is within a set of circumstances, rather than the victory being in Jesus Christ. he said, faith is this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, I mean, I love the life that I have, and that's why I have many children, because I think the life that God has given me is a great life. I mean, I love loving people. I mean, and guess what? All of them don't love me back. And many of them don't even like me, but that's okay. I still love loving them. You know, and I'm living the dream of my life. Just the joy unspeakable, full of glory. But you can only see it through the eyes of faith. but God is so marvelously good. And the only negative about me is when I try to be me without God. Am I saying I live perfect in every situation? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the life that I've received from Christ is a great life. And when I embrace that and walk in it, there's not a person under the sun that I could not wish that they have the life in Christ that I have. Now, not the life, the way I obey Christ, but the life that I have in Christ. Because, you know, and I'm telling, this is the honest to God's truth. I said, my life in Christ, when I live it, it always works. And it always has fruit. You know, because I was thinking about that this week, and like I mentioned about the love I mentioned earlier, that's something that God has done, you know? And I praise God for that. And there's other things too, but you know, fruit is, and I think I mentioned this before, and the fruit that He's given me to love is not really for me, it's for others. You know why? Because there's a lot of people in this world that just don't know what it's like to be loved. And God's called me to be one of those people that can give that. And I thank God for that. And I rejoice in that. You know, but it came at a cost. Christ suffering death. Because I would know nothing about that at all if it were not for the life of Jesus. And the great love of God that looked down upon a world that He created. He even gave His own name too, when you think about His chosen people, is to be called by His name, and they were unthankful unto Him, and He didn't repay evil for evil. He said, when we could find no redeemer, He said, I'll send my own. He looked down of all that unthankfulness from being rescued from bondage in Egypt. God not only made them supernatural food, but you know, you think about it, you know, it's funny. If you could find manna today, It would be worth $1 million, you know. I get discouraged sometimes. I like to listen to the station out of Buffalo, WDCX, I think what it is, and I like to listen to the preaching. But you know, after certain hours, all it is these health programs. Everybody's trying to find the superfood, you know. And God's people had the superfood; they didn't want it. What is this? Oh, manna. You think about it. They ate that for 40 years and they didn't die because of a health problem. They just died of old age in the wilderness, you know. They didn't die because they had unhealthy. God made it super. Can you imagine if you and I eat the same thing every day, every meal, and we still be healthy? You know? I mean, God did that with manna, you know, and they said, Oh, yes. Yeah, I know it's a miracle, but I don't care. Can we have something else? God, I know You supernaturally made it to keep us alive and sustain us, but can we have something else? And God said, you know what? That's evil thinking, but I'm not going to respond like them. God sent His own Son in the likeness of flesh. What a God. So, if you watch the news, you're going to see some evil. And I'm not saying don't watch the news, but you're going to see some evil. If you live in an apartment building or condo, you're going to see some evil. If you go to school, public or Christian school, you're going to see some evil because there's people there. If you work a secular job, if you work an illegal job, if you work any, if you live in this world, you will see some evil. But don't be overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. And God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a proof that it works. Father, I thank You for overcoming my evil and sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me and bringing me salvation. You overcame all my evil with Your good, and not only gave me, You gave me a new life, but You gave me an eternal life. You allowed me the privilege to know You. So Father, I just pray. I pray again like I did the other day. Father, would You please, by the name of Jesus Christ, would You use the goodness that You placed in me in salvation and use me as much as You possibly can to overcome the evil that surrounds me with Your goodness. Father, if there be evil in this room today, would You touch the hearts of those that know You and give them a desire to overcome the evil with Your goodness? Father, those of us that are saved, we have people in our lives that we know are evil. Would You give us a purpose and a desire to be used in the lives of those evil people to overcome their evil with Your good? For the things we hear on the news, the things we see abroad, the flashes we see on our phones of all the evil around us, would You purpose in our hearts to be used by Thee to overcome the evil with Your good? Father, for those who are without Christ today, would You somehow, by Your grace and compassion, would You overcome their evil thinking, and would You cause them to have faith to turn from their wicked ways, their evil, and to trust in Your good, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to experience salvation so rich and so sweet. Father, You know what needs to take place today. For Your name's sake, for Your goodness' sake, Thy will be done.